You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And like the dude just said, we cover all the issues, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, it would be Monday all day long, Monday, April 3rd, which, by the way, happens to be my brother's birthday. So shout out to what I referred to earlier this morning as my older, younger brother. Happy birthday to Chris. Boomer's on the board. Hey, bud. How are you?
I'm good.
McQueen is home. Life has been restored to some order of normal.
Yes, it is. It's great. I cleaned up the house before she got there. She never knew of the mess.
Well, so you cleaned up the house.
Yeah, I did.
Never knew of the mess. She knows now.
Hopefully she's not listening yet.
So basically you got all the points. You let your wife go on
all
a trip.
The little bitty
was with the grandparents. She won't remember whether mom or dad was there at this particular moment. You got all the time with little man.
All the time.
You got Star Wars and baseball and basketball and whatever
else. He was on spring break. So, I mean, we just got to hang out.
And then she came home to a clean house.
And then she came home to a clean house.
Who are you?
I don't know. But I was trying to rack up as many points as I could.
Apparently your ledger is full. All right. Hey, we got a great show laid on for you. 4 o'clock today, our buddy Jeff Poore is going to call in. We got some topics we want to cover in the political spectrum. And since he's also the executive editor of 1819 News, I thought we might just chat through some things with Jeff Poore at 4 o'clock today. And then I got a triple dipper that's just, man, full. Go ahead.
The triple dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right. The triple dipper. Three stories, three themes, if you will, that you have got to know as we run today's show. The very first one, right out the gate. Insurrection 2.0. Didn't we see like a standard being set about what an insurrection is? Didn't we get some kind of like major implications that if you rush on into the people's house, it's bad? It's like, wow. Like, next thing you know, government comes to a grinding halt. There's an attempt at an insurrection. Well, no, now we got insurrection 2.0, but they don't care. They don't care because it was liberals invading. So we'll talk about it. Just talk about the double standard. Give you an update of what happened in the Tennessee State Capitol last week. All right, number two on the triple dipper. Yeah. So, like, sometimes it's just so easy to resource a show, especially when one woke story after another occurs. And that, you know what that means? It means I have a smorgasbord. I have a buffet. I have a plethora. I have a vast cornucopia, if you will, of wokeness. We're doing Adventures in Woke World, number two on today's show. And then number three, left over from Friday because I couldn't get to it because of all the topics we were covering then. But number three is tone-deaf politics. It's amazing to me when you see, especially members of the executive branch, state and federal, doing things, and it's like, are you even aware of what your constituents feel or think or are going through right now? Are you just that tone-deaf? Can you not read the room? Well, we're going to talk about some examples right here in Alabama and up in D.C. and elsewhere. Tone-deaf politics, number three on the triple dipper. All right, listen, though, I will jump over to my opening comments, and I'll just say this. Both of our kids, Charlene and I, both our kids are married now, right? We have two grandkids, and yes, they are awesome. And somehow or another, though, there's always a moment when we're together and we wind up telling a story about things that happened when their daddy or their aunt was little. But sometimes, even without grandkids being present, we still laugh about things from those days because of the memories they set. When my daughter was little and I'd be driving her to one of her weekend soccer games, I'd get her motivated to play hard and I'd yell, "Show me your war face!" At which point, little five-year-old girl would scrunch up her face and we'd both yell, "Ah!" So when she got married last fall, right before I walked her down the aisle, I yelled out, "Show me your war face!" right there at the wedding. And she knew exactly what I was doing and we did it like it was yesterday. Kids are funny. I don't know about y'all, but as the years have gone on, we've adopted any number of words in our house that are not the normal way of saying things, if you know what I mean. When my daughter was young, she started calling biscuits spigots. And so for years, we ate spigots for breakfast in our house. My son took to calling French fries BBs, and we have no idea why, but we all liked it, so for many meals thereafter, if we had burgers, we likely had BBs. On another occasion, my son, at 4 years old, asked where we were going, and I said something to the effect of, we're going to someone's house, but they live down a long road way back in the woods. And so from then on, whenever he didn't know where we were going, he would ask, are we going way back there? And so inevitably, we'd say, yeah, buddy, we're going way back there. That was our way of describing it. But one of our favorites of all time, we were talking about it this past weekend, came when my son was roughly three. He was sitting in his car seat as he and my wife were driving through Georgia, and my son looked out the window and said, Mommy, where are we? And she replied, we're in a city called Noonan. And he thought about it for a minute. And then in the way that only a three-year-old can do, he says, I don't like that name. I'm going to call it Fred. Sorry, Noonan. You are now known to the Williams family as Fred, Georgia. Well, this is all fun. This is never a time when it was mandated. No other households that I'm aware of ever had to eat spigots, BBs, or drive through Fred, Georgia. It was child's play. It was precious. But we all know that in the end, there's no means by which a child can change things or change the English language simply because they say so. It's somewhat of a cultural rule, a norm, sometimes even a matter of law, that just because someone says so, don't make it so. If we had gone to each one of our neighbors and told them that it didn't matter what their map said or what the annotated code of Georgia says or what the city council of Noonan says, they all have to comply by changing it to Fred, Georgia from now on, well, that would have worked out as well as a screen door in a submarine. People would have questioned our sanity and wondered why we would cow down to the sweet but yet infantile notions of our youngest family members. Maturity says the revised versions of words were to be seen as such, and then our kids grew out of them as time went by. Isn't it amazing how some people, though, are of the mind that allowing kids to have what they want because they throw a tantrum is just a good idea? I mean, how often have we seen that child in Walmart or at the restaurant or the park, and when they throw a fit, the parent just relented just to keep the peace? Well, it never ends there. The tantrums get bigger and more frequent when the child realizes that stomping their feet and yelling at the top of their lungs yields the results they want. The little things become big things and bad things become worse things, and when that kind of weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth is seen as productive behavior, well, they get what they want and life gets worse around them. Well, liberals have apparently forgotten that. So often these days we're being told that because they say so somehow makes it so. Well, not so. Relabeling common things in order to fit a personal narrative and then demanding adherence to that narrative simply because they say so is juvenile at best. It is disingenuous. It is the poor man's attempt to make the world bend to a childlike tantrum. Greta Thunberg croaking, "How dare you!" to the whole world because she wanted to skip school and become a climate activist has no meaning to the majority of adult-minded citizens, and it shouldn't. Dylan Mulvaney skipping down the hall like Shirley Temple while celebrating his so-called 365 days of girlhood, well, that's farcical. It bears no resemblance to reality. Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas claiming the border is secure while millions pour over it is nothing but revisionist. But the question I have is, why is there such a pervasive effort to either A, believe that these and many other liberal notions are true for some reason, or B, simply not care enough to point out that they are not? I mean, at what point did adult society cede control to the non-adults, figuratively speaking, and allow for anything that is said to simply be truth, or anything demanded to be provided? It appears that the left has given itself over to yielding to tantrums, revisions, and childish notions, and they don't seem to know how to pull out. It reminds me of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory when that spoiled character named Veruca Salt. She yelled out, "I want the world. I want the whole world. I want to lock it all up in my pocket. It's my bar of chocolate. Give it to me now." But just as in Willy Wonka, all the other members of the cast saw right through Veruca's tantrums, and they were glad when she was gone. Well, the day is fast coming. I believe it. The day is fast coming when good people will have had enough of being told to refer to boys as girls, or watching boys beat up on girls in girls' sports. Enough with the changing of our language as pronouns become weapons, and we're told to refer to singular people as they, them. Soon enough, I believe there will be a comeuppance for those who tell us we can't have a gas stove or that our cars must be charged on an electrical grid or that compliance is expected, not asked, but expected on matters such as, you know, hiring someone simply because of their race. Time's running out for those who blithely believe that no one will question their need to sexualize children by having explicit reading material in their elementary classrooms, or that it's okay for drag queens to straddle a middle schooler and it's all fun and games. Parents are out of patience. Parents are out of patience with their children being told that they have privilege and are either oppressors or oppressed in their systemically racist country. And shareholders are tired of seeing what happens to their 401ks and bank accounts when environmental green compliance means more to corporations than profits. All said and done, just saying something is does not make it so. A tantrum by a liberal activist does not merit a change in our behavior. We've had it. We're tired of being told that when liberals rename something in the name of their agenda that we must get on board. Well, here's an idea. No. Liberal tantrums don't make for good public policy. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, it is. I mean, I look at it and I think, man, what the heck? It's like watching some of what liberals are doing right now is like a child throwing a tantrum, and so many adults around them are going, okay, we'll give you what you want. Stop it. That never makes things better. Remind the child that you love them, but no, that ain't the way it's going to be. And guess what? Things move along quite well, and they grow up to be well-adjusted. It's time right now for our society to take back the argument. Give the tantrums a time out. Keep moving forward. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We're back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right. Man, I'm telling you right now, this breaking news, just so you know, is that Trump has been in the air now for several minutes, flying to New York City to turn himself in for his arraignment on the indictment charges. My latest piece, by the way, is out on 1819 News, and we have multiple other outlets around the state that will carry it throughout the week. But I wrote about this very thing, and CNN, Boomer. I mean, what? I guess are they gonna have somebody tracking the flight?
That's exactly what they're doing. They're literally zoomed up to a blurry plane, saying, "Hey guys, he's coming.
Look out, y'all!
Watch it."
It's like the Santa Claus tracker on NORAD, you know, where they got just trying to figure out where is
you
he now.
You heard it first here on CNN. Look at this.
He's 2 minutes closer. How much further you got to go? I don't know. A few hours. It's ridiculous.
Wow.
But anyway, they're going to keep doing this, I guess, because the news
That's
cycle
is
going to wind up being that President Trump is en route to New York City and that tomorrow he will turn himself in peacefully at the courthouse in New York City. And we don't know for a fact whether they're going to let him walk in the front door and wave to the crowd or if they're going to bring him in through a back entrance. They have some gated entryways. They can also take people in, and who knows? I don't know. And I don't know too whether the judge may take that opportunity to put a gag order in place. Can they do that though? I'm not sure they can put a gag order in place that says you can't talk about the fact that there is a case because they're sure talking about you being in a case. So anyway, lots more to come. I suspect we're going to hear about this ad nauseum now for days, years, maybe. But you know what, though? I will say this. If they're going to pursue it, then at least Trump has a chance to get it out of the way before he gets reelected. Because right now, the odds are that he would get reelected, even with these pending charges. And, I mean, nobody should have to go through what he went through in his first 4 years. And the idea that he can get this cleared maybe before that day comes, that would be something. Turn to the text lines real quick. There are other things going on in the news. I appreciate Jeff from Indiana. Even sent us a picture from the road. He talked about, Jeff from Indiana is a truck driver. He drives a daily route through this area, and he saw Officer Garrett Crumby's funeral procession from the Huntsville PD was honoring him. He said well over 100 police vehicles. Took 10 minutes for them all to drive by, and he said lots of people on the side of the road, on the overpasses. He said it was amazing. He even brought tears to his eyes just watching that much support for one of our fallen men in blue. So anyway, Jeff, appreciate you sharing that with us. And then I got, with regards to my monologue a moment ago about liberal tantrums, Badger from Athens texted in and says, just spank them all. Oh, Lord. Yeah, I was talking about things that are, you know, kids say them differently or you say them differently in the household. Frank from Huntsville says, my mom used to call tampons cornflakes. She would tell my dad, buy some more cornflakes at the store. And I requested one day that it please buy Rice Krispies. That's okay. Anyway, I don't think it. Anyway, Jeff from Green Hill wants to do an opinion piece sometime. One of my dippers, I guess, on financials, the U.S. dollar being devalued worldwide. We will talk about that sometime soon. Jeff, thanks much. And then John from Huntsville just texted in and says, he says, hey, Boomer. McQueen lost.
Oh, yes, she did.
So let's talk about that bracket there.
Bracket.
It's all right. So Boomer's bracket. That's what it was. You call it the right side ruffian bracket. It was
Boomer
really,
bracket.
It was really the Boomer bracket because you put this thing together, man. Great job on that.
Thanks. It was
we had
fun.
A ton of people get involved with it. Like
yes.
192 signed up to be in. So we're down to it.
We're down to it. Last game tonight. There are only two that I see right here in front of me that actually could jump ahead and win.
Who do they be?
So we got Mason D and Michael, lots of numbers. But they're the only two that chose UConn to win. Right now we have Elisa, TK, Scott, and Bama Best. So those are the top three right now. But if UConn wins tonight, Michael and Mason will jump them. And Mason will actually be the winner.
Yeah, because both picked UConn for the final, but apparently Mason had probably had one game better
than
the overall.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah. He has at least one game a little overall, so he'll be one, and Mike will be number two.
And we got some swag.
We got some stuff.
We got some stuff for the winner. We got a box of goodies for the winner, all right side ruffian kind of stuff.
Oh yeah,
yeah. So we'll lay that out there probably tomorrow. I guess we'll know by tomorrow who it is, right?
That's right. And then once I get a hold of them, and I'll get their address and ship it all out.
All right. So yeah. So if you are in the top, looks like I would say in the top eight, there are people within the top eight people in the bracket right now that are one of those is gonna be the winner.
That's right.
I would say.
Mm-hmm.
And wouldn't it be a hoot if it was UConn?
It would be.
And so at that point, you would have probably Mason would be in first place, and Michael with all the numbers would be in second place, I would imagine, if
that's
UConn
right.
wins.
That's exactly what it would be. And then Elisa TK in third.
Did anybody in our entire bracket pick San Diego State?
No.
Did anybody in the whole world pick San Diego
Maybe
State?
Maybe only the ones from San Diego State.
Did the parents of the San Diego State players pick San Diego State? It's San Diego State's players pick San Diego State. Ain't no bookie in the world throwing odds on San Diego State about a month ago. All right. All right, folks. We'll be back in a little bit. Right after this break, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned.